gentlemen. Well, I just want to jump in and say Happy New Year to everybody. I've been staying busy with all kinds of stuff around the house here. The well was the big one, and then a few other things that we've also had to fix. It seems like things are going at the end of the year, which is better than at the first of the year, I guess. So Happy New Year to everybody. This is WD8RON out.
Fellas, I'll be the last one to tip my hat, I guess. And I wish both of you a happier new year coming. Everybody be happier if you can. This is KK4JBQ. I'm clear.
Well, you go. You taking not the current issue, but the previous issue. Not about that, where they was getting kind of shocked. Say, how for hell's he got? Did you ever read that issue, Larry?
Now, when you say not the current, but the one before that, I still didn't gather what the article was about. Want to fill me in on that?
Chad coming in talking about getting kind of a sting situation off or something. It was not the January issue. It was either the December or November, somewhere in that range. Where they talked about certain makes of receivers and transmitters wasn't grounded just the way they should have been, you know. Today you got the three prong on the end of the plug, but some of those Halicrafters, Nationals, and certain ones in there, they wasn't grounded quite like they really should have been. And if you wasn't careful, you would get a sting off of it from being hooked up on the AC. Did you see that?
Truthfulness, no, I didn't see it. Just didn't maybe read that. But I'm well aware of what the problem was. The B plus voltage on tube equipment can be over 600 volts, and it's deadly. And it was common practice, both in amateur equipment and in commercial receivers. The 5-tube and 6-tube receivers for AM, mostly. One side of the electrical supply was connected to the chassis. And if the manufacturer wasn't careful not to have any metal on the chassis, even screws that might go through the bottom and attach the chassis to the wooden case. Now, the wood, of course, was an insulator. And when Bakelite came along, which was an early plastic, that was an insulator. But if any metal was there, you touched any, you stick your hand in the bag, you know, people would service it, even the commercial radios, they'd service it and leave the back panel off. You could get 600 volts. It's a deadly shock. There are ways around that, and certainly the polarized plugs that we use today, the large prong is neutral. It's the neutral side, so you can rewire an old radio properly. You put the switch in the positive or the hot wire from your electrical service. You switch that one, and you put the neutral wire, usually white as it comes to the service. You put the neutral wire on the smaller plug, the smaller prong of the outlet. And that's one way, but a most certain way is to use three prongs to have a grounded circuit. And it's what any work you ever do on an old radio, this is something you have to upgrade for your own protection and those of family members too. I was well aware of that. I've worked on some old radios in the past and run across more than a tingle would shoot you across the room if you if it was wired switching the neutral rather than the hot wire. If it was wired to a chassis that any part of it was exposed to the touch. Yeah. Okay. Andy, appreciate you bringing that up. Maybe you just saved somebody's life. Who knows? KK4JBQ.
It was in either the December or November issue when Chad was talking a while back about that getting stung bit. That's when that QST was current at that time. And I mentioned that somewhat to y'all at the time about it, but you hadn't looked at it at that time. But a lot of those radio manufacturers back at that time, as you say, would cut corners. And wasn't, that's how they would wire it, so to speak. But as you found out and seen that, you'd have to be very, very, very cautious. You'd just be a receiver now. But as you say, everything was vacuum tube. Back then, everything was AM and CW. Vacuum tube receivers. That's this old silver tone I got over here. They were very careful about how they done that, and I don't go putting my fingers just anywhere in it unless it's powered down. I ain't that dumb, but when I read that in that QST about how some of the manufacturers cut corners doing that, that's not why we have the three prongs. It made me go to thinking about now why the three-prong is so important.
Yes, it is important, but I think what Chad was talking about at the time, if I remember correctly, he was talking about an RF burn. Now, that's very high voltage and not much amperage. The amperage is what kills you, and 1 amp will kill you. But a few milliamps with high voltage will give you an RF burn. Well, the thing is, it stings like any other electrical shock. But an RF burn destroys the tissue. It's very slow to heal. And you can get an RF burn on modern equipment. RF coming back into the shack it's in the air, and it will be on anything metal, say the microphone that I'm holding right now. It's all plastic. There is no metal to touch. And this is a good thing, but there are vintage microphones, and you've seen them, that have, well, take the Lollipop, and you know what I'm talking about. Oh, gosh, I can't remember the manufacturer of that thing, but it was kind of a designer microphone. It was fashioned after a candlestick. They called them a candlestick telephone. It had the earpiece that kind of hung on the side in a little cradle, and the weight of the Bakelite speaker part would switch the telephone off and on. So you just pick up the earpiece and put it to your ear, and then the microphone was on the candlestick part, okay? That's a very old style of telephone. Well, these manufacturers for ham gear, they call them candlestick or lollipop or whatever, but goodness, I can't remember the name of the manufacturer. But they had metal parts exposed. So if you have RF in the shack, it will collect on anything metal, especially if it's directly connected to the radio itself, like a microphone. And you just touch that thing, and there'll be a zap. There'll be a slight blue spark if it's dark in the room. But it's so hard to heal because it destroys the tissue. Anyway, I think that's what they were talking about. It's not exactly an electrical burn. It's more of a RF static charge is what it is. That discharges into your body. And anyway, a slightly different thing. Andy, I'm wide awake and ready to go, but my hand cramps up with this microphone. I have to keep this button squeezed just hard enough, you know. Anymore, I get a cramp in my hand, so I'm going to sign with you and wish you a very happy new year. Let's all make the best of it we can. You take care now. It's good to hear you. It's KK4JBQ, and I'll be clear on yours.
Link, you was talking about the D104 microphone. You hear a lot of people still on 11 meters using those D104s microphones, and you're right. There's a lot of metal-type surface on those microphones for such as that. That they was talking about in the article was a SX-38, and I think a SX-42, that was some of the Halifax stuff, but there was two or three mates there of radio gear where they had cut corners and do like that. Others wasn't, but they did, they cut corners, and as you say, you had to be very careful about it. So go ahead. I just wondered if you'd saw that yet or not. I mean, within a month or two's time, I have these things looked over real, real good and spot some of these things. But go ahead. KK4JBQ, KI4LCI.